And we're very thankful to have each and every person on the call. We got a large call tonight. And I want everyone to pray that we will get through this call without any technical difficulties. Tonight, my friend, Brother Tim Ellery, we go way back. We're very thankful he's accepted our invitation again to speak tonight on this subject that's very important, subject that everybody must know. With so many people dying as COVID has brought death to the attention of the world, Jesus stated that dying in your sins would not be good. He said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. But Tim Ellery has been preaching since 1988, been married for 30 years. He's currently serving at the Westside Church of Christ in Round Rock, Texas. And tonight he's going to come to us in his own way. Brother Tim, tell us, what does the Bible say about dying in your sins? Brother Tim.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and I want to thank all of those that have been invited to the call tonight, and just glad to have you here. I want to say a special thank you to my Aunt Liz, who is about 90 years old, and she's joining. And the last time I spoke, my wife had sent this invitation out, and we had several co-workers that Brother Stroud and I worked with about 20 years ago that joined the call, and they said they were going to be on tonight as well, Miss Teresa and Miss Regina and others that we worked with 20 years ago. And so glad to have them on the call last time, and hopefully they're on tonight as well. Let me get started here. I've been given the subject, what does the Bible say about if you die in your sins? What's the truth about that? But first, let me start with just a story. I knew a man years ago who was obsessed with how he would die. And one of the things that he was very fearful of was dying in a house fire. He was obsessed with that. And when friends would come in and meet him or talk with him or strangers, he would always ask them, what did they fear? What was their fear of death? What, you know, was it drowning? Was it starving? What was the case, right? But he was obsessed with this. And that man eventually obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was a faithful Christian. And one day they were having a home Bible study. And as they were having the home Bible study, him and some other senior citizens were sitting around, and they were sharing words of encouragement from the Scripture. And all of a sudden, it was his turn to speak, and he did not respond. He had passed away. He was obsessed with dying in a fire, but he didn't die in a fire. He died in the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation 14, in verse 13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, and they shall rest from their labors. That man did the right things. He obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He stayed faithful unto death. He no longer had to be concerned about how he died, because he died in the Lord. If you die in the Lord, you and I both will be able to go where Jesus is. But however, Jesus says, and if you have your Bibles tonight, and I hope you have your Bibles, then please get a piece of paper and a pencil. I want to give you a quiz, as is my tradition. But first, I want to go to our text, and then I want to ask you 7 or 8 questions, true or false, and then I'm going to give you scripture to support the answers. In John chapter 8, and verse number 12, Jesus says, the Bible says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. We often hear the term that we live in a dark and fallen world. And yes, we do. But it doesn't have to be dark for those who have the illumination of the light of Christ in their life. It doesn't have to be dark for us if we obey the gospel and we walk in the light as he is in the light. Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 8 and verse 21, and he's talking to these folks that are challenging him and challenging the validity of who he's saying he is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And they're challenging him. And Jesus says this in verse 21 of John chapter 8. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. He says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And we find in John, the 14th chapter, that Jesus was going to go and prepare a place for all of us. And he's talking to his disciples. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, in John 14:2. And he says, and then Thomas asked the question. He says, how can we know the way of where you're going? And Jesus says in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So the way has been illuminated. It has been presented in the gospel. And all we have to do is go to the word of God and follow that way. John chapter 8 and verse 24, the Bible says this. Jesus says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you die, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He's talking to these Pharisees who he is trying to get them to see that he is the Christ. And they're denying it. And they have all this evidence in front of them. John chapter 12, verse 37, he said that Jesus, they said that Jesus had done many signs. And I want you to see this, because Jesus had fed 5,000 folks with five loaves of bread and two small fish in John 6:9. He had raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11:43. But the Bible says in John 12:39, they could not believe him because of the hardness of the heart, verse 40, because the Bible says, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that they should be, so that Jesus says, so that I should heal them. These folks are so hard in their hearts that they could not see that what was right in front of them was able to see. And Jesus says, you will die in your sin. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Friends, brothers, sisters, if you are not in Christ, or if you're in Christ and you're living in your sins, see, if you're not in Christ, you're in sins. But if you're in the body of Christ, but you are living a sinful life, you fall in the same category. You will die in your sin. Now, let me ask you seven questions. Seven questions. In fact, I think it's going to be eight. Question one, true or false? There is no, and these are things that people say all the time, there is no definition of sin in the Bible, true and false, true or false. Please write down your answers, because we're going to come back and we're going to see how you do on this quick quiz. Question two, I'm a good person. I am a righteous person. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. Therefore, I am justified by God. True or false? Question three. The more I sin, the more grace I will get from God. So it does not matter if I die in my sins. True or false? If I die in my sins, I will have a second chance when Christ comes back. True or false? Once I've obeyed the gospel and have been added to the church, I cannot die in my sins. True or false? Number six, I don't need to obey the gospel as long as I'm a good moral person. I will go to heaven, true or false? Number seven, if I die in my sins and go to hell, it won't be so bad. All of my friends will be there, true or false? Question eight, a loving God would never allow me to go to hell, true or false? If you're a Bible student, you will think that some of these questions are quite ridiculous. If you're a Bible student, you would say there's no way in the world someone would answer wrong on some of these questions. But if you've been around long enough and teaching the gospel long enough, you'll know that there are folks that literally believe the wrong way on some of these questions. Let's start with question one. There is no definition of sin in the Bible. That is patently false. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. That's a different translation, but I want you to see this. I'm going to give you another version of that. The Bible says everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is contrary to God's law. It's lawlessness. It's iniquity. It is against the law of God. Let me show you something else about sin. Sin is a work of the flesh. Galatians 5:19, it says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfishness, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And what he's saying there in such like, if you didn't catch one of those in those, all of the ones that were named, he said anything like it. And I'll just tell you something. We believe sometimes as the world has taught us, and we sometimes buy into the world that we can do anything and everything we want to do. This revelry, this party spirit, you know, some of us that are in the Lord's body, we're still going to clubs and partying and drinking and reveling and all of that kind of stuff. And we believe in our minds and our hearts that all I got to do is just go to service the next day and it'll be all right. You cannot live a life of sin and die in sins and expect it to be all right. I'm a good person, number two. I'm a good person and righteous, and I don't lie, cheat, and steal. I don't do any of those things you just read about in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Therefore, I'm justified with God. That answer is false. We find a man in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. He thought that because he fasted twice a week, because he gave tithes of all that he possessed, and because he wasn't like the tax collector, the sinful man who had even admitted that he was sinful, he felt like he was justified. But Jesus said that the tax collector went down to his house more justified than this man. So just because you think you're righteous, and the Bible said he trusted in his righteousness, doesn't mean that you're going to spend eternity with Christ, because you have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And you must stay faithful to God until death. Number three, some people say, and this was a thought in the book of Romans, well, grace has me covered, so the more I sin, the more grace God gives me. That is a false statement. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Apostle Paul writes this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? Number 4. If I die in my sins, I will have a second chance when Christ comes back again. There is this doctrine out there, this false teaching out there called premillennialism, that there will be a second chance. That's false. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Once we die, that's it. There's no second chance. Number 5. Once I've obeyed the gospel and have been added to the church, I cannot die in my sins. That is false. And some of us in the Lord's body is starting to believe this false narrative about once saved, always saved. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and 7, but, that's a conditional statement, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the good news. However, if we don't walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Christ will not cleanse us from all of our sins. And you can fall away. You can fall from grace if you live in sin. The Bible says this, 2 Peter 2:20 to 22. He says, "For if after they had escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are entangled again in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness." These are Christians, and this is written to Christians. He says, "Then having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." And this is words from the inspired Apostle Peter that says, "But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit." That's very graphic, but you've seen it. And what he's saying is a Christian that has obeyed the gospel and goes back into the world is like a dog going back to his own vomit, and a sow having been washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's how graphic it is. And Jesus says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. I don't need to obey the gospel. As long as I'm a good moral person, I will go to heaven. That's false. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. The Bible says this, "And to give you who are troubled rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven." He said, rest with us. He says, when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, he says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Question 7. If I die in my sins and go to hell, it won't be so bad. All my friends will be there. Of course, that's false, and that's ridiculous, and folks joke about it as if it's something funny. But I'll tell you, we talk about the tragedies that are going on in this world today, and yes, they are heartbreaking, they're tragic, but they're finite. The storms that are coming up to Texas and the East Coast and different places, that's finite. That's going to end. COVID-19 will end one day, even if it's when the Lord comes back. That's finite. The social unrest will end one day. The injustice will end one day. Death will end one day. But my friends, those tragedies are not to be compared with the tragedy of dying outside of Christ, of dying lost. Because you and whoever dies outside of Christ and dies in their sins will be in an eternal state of torment and punishment. Listen to what the Bible says. In Revelation 21:7, the good news is this. Jesus says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So, Revelation 21:8. Here's what I want you to see, and I think, brother, I listened to a lesson from Brother Don, who will be speaking, I think, on Friday on World Video Bible School. I listened to a lesson about hell, and one of the points that Brother Don makes in that lesson, beautiful lesson, is that the people that are going to be in hell, if you're offended by the folks that you're offended by in this world, well, those are the kind of people who are going to be in hell. The Bible says this in Revelation 21:8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, whoremongers," is what they're called in the King James, "sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I remember taken a class in cybersecurity a few months back, and they brought in a special speaker from the Department of Public Safety, and it was a lieutenant who was in the cyber crimes division. And this man was telling us about some of the things that they view. We look at the internet. What you don't see is the dark web and things that go on. It's heart-wrenching. It's troubling and disturbing about how mankind abuses mankind. These are the kinds of folks, and not just those kind of folks, that will be in hell. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and 41, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his angels will also be there. The Bible says this, and let me show you the conditions of hell. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. For the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. You think this is a dark world? This outer darkness is a dark darkness. It's darker than this world. And the Bible says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:44 says, the worm dies not. That means that part of you that is the inanimate part of you, the soul, our souls will not die, and the fire is not quenched. When you have time, go read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, and you see about this rich man, and all he wanted Lazarus to do was go touch his finger in water and put a tip of water on his tongue, and there was no relief there. There was no relief there. That's what hell is like. That's what it means to die in our sins, to be eternally separated from a loving, kind, good God. It be in a place where God is not. I've heard people say, I was in a place and I knew God couldn't be in a place because the wickedness and the evil and all of those things. That's just folk talking, but let me just tell you something. Hell is a place where God is not going to be. The last one question is, a loving God would not allow me to go to hell. That is also false, and that's a false narrative that has been presented over and over again. The Bible says in Luke 13:23-28 that God will allow us. And notice I said allow us, but not only will he allow us, the Bible says that in verse 28, for the sake of time, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Thrust out. Almighty God. As I come to a close of this message, sometimes we get phone calls about loved ones or friends who have died out of the body of Christ, out of the safe place. Acts 2:47, the Bible says, praising God and adding and having favor with all the people the Lord added to the church, such as should be saved. If you're not in the church, the blood-bought institution that Christ died for on the cross of Calvary, he died. He suffered. He was brutalized on that cross. He was, I can just give you, you look at Mark the 15th chapter, they took a crown of thorns. They twisted him. They put him in his head. They beat him all night. They mocked him. All types of things that they did for him. They crucified him. And they, all for our sake, all for our sake, so that we would not have to spend eternity in hell. If you make the choice to leave the Lord's church, the ark of safety, if you make the choice never to come into the Lord's church by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you have chosen to spend eternity in hell with the devil and his angels, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where it will be eternal, where the flame is never quenched. You have made the decision that you do not want to spend eternity with Christ. I know this is not a jump up and down message, and it's not intended to be. In these days and times, we need to take it serious. We need to understand that if we are not in Christ, then we will be lost eternally, if we're not in his church. And let me tell you how to get there. You got to hear the gospel message. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What do you hear? You hear the gospel message, Acts 15 and 7. He says that they should hear the word of the gospel and believe. The Bible goes on to tell us that we need to believe that message, Hebrews 11, 6, which says without faith, it's impossible to believe him. But we must believe that he is, and a reward of those that diligently seek him. Jesus says in John chapter 20 and verse number 31, John says, but these things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And then you must repent of sins. Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10:10, and be baptized in water for the remission of sin, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, and live faithfully until death, Revelation 2:10, Ephesians 4:1, and there's other passages that talk about living faithfully. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation in any way, contact the good brethren at Highland Heights, and they will find some place for you to be baptized, no matter where you are in this country or this world. If you're a member of the Lord's church, and if you left the Lord, or if you're living in sin, if you're doing those things that are works of the flesh, and if you're living that way, you need to repent. We need to repent and come back to Christ. Thank you. Appreciate your time. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Tommy Brooks and Brother Flinder. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ellaby. We appreciate you so very much for making this such a plain message. It's really a serious message when you think about it. There's so many people are dying in their sins, and we know they're dying in their sins. And our objective tonight is to reach those who are still alive. You have time to do something about this. Those questions were good questions that we all can answer. And there are questions that people ask, and people believe in these things. And so we're thankful tonight. No, this is not a jump up and down sermon. It wasn't intended to be. It's intended to cause all of us to think in the Church of Christ and those who are visiting. We have to do it the way God has told us to do it. But certainly no one questions death. No one questions death. We know people are going to die. But how will you die? Are you taking making the effort to save your soul? If you want to be baptized, we have put this call on because we want you to be baptized. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. You say, well, I was baptized before. But if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you didn't have a true baptism. So let us study with you. If you have questions, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. But perhaps because when you listen to a message like this, I want to encourage everyone to go back and listen to the recordings, because you'll never remember everything. Retention rates are very low. But if you go back and listen to it, you will retain more. You'll learn more by going and listen to it. Do not believe that you're going to hear everything and understand it all. Go back and listen to it. And that will help you answer questions, help you go back and the scriptures you may have missed or the points that he made. Go back and listen to the recording. They're on the website. Go to HollandHeightsCoc.net, HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there are those recordings in there for you to take the time to go back and listen to the ones that you really need to understand better. And so we're thankful that the website is available for you, and we want you to be saved. And we want the members of the church to know that we're doing all of this to help you. And all our friends, we want to help you. And so this week, we got some great speakers coming up. Brother Tommy Hicks tomorrow night, Rejecting the Truth. That's a great lesson. Don't want to miss that one. And Brother Robert Harper Sr., the topic he would talk about be the saved being only in the Church of Christ. The saved being only in the Church of Christ. And then closing us out, Brother Don Blackwell, the fires of hell. And so we want everyone to please tune in tomorrow night. Pray for our effort. Pray for Houston area and all the Louisiana, all those who go be hit with the hurricane. Please pray for us. And we pray that nothing would happen to interfere with our conference call. We pray the lines will stay good and we'll have no technical problems. We ask you to pray for us, please. Let us pray right now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Jesus, our Christ, your Son, who gave his life on Calvary and shed the blood that purchased his church, his bride, his wife, the Church of Christ. We thank you for the blood that washed our sins away in baptism. We pray for our listening audience tonight that you would be with them, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they will understand they have to obey the truth in order to go to heaven so they don't die in their sins. We pray for members of the church who left the truth and gone into entertainment and all these other things they're doing in worship, that they come back to what the plain basic truths of Scripture as you've instructed us in your word. We thank you for Brother Tim for the way he presented the lesson, the way he challenged our thinking tonight, in the simple, plain, and basic way he taught the Scripture tonight. Thank you for him. We pray for him and his family. Continue to bless them. Lord, bless our effort. Continue to bless us. We love you, and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us tomorrow night to hear another word from the Lord. Thank you to our visitors for allowing us to come into your home for 30 minutes with the truth. It is my prayer that you all have a good night's rest. God bless.